Mississippi, and he doesn't know it, but he's coming back up here. He is. He'll be back. He'd just act much closer to heaven when you get in Arkansas. Anyway, you're going to come back. Aaron, I appreciate you, brother, and I appreciate Katrina and Audrey. We're even going to miss you. You know I mean it. You know we're going to miss Audrey. We'll get to keep Katrina and Eden for a few more weeks, and then they'll be following them down there. Maybe we can do something special again. We're glad for you. So stay around after services. Love on these folks a little bit more, and enjoy some food. And thank you for bringing that. We'll be together for a few minutes after our services. Kids Connection at 5:00. This week you're studying the kingdom includes the Gentiles from Acts chapter 11. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. When I read that, Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11, I thank my God because I'm a Gentile. I thank my God. And the kingdom includes the Gentiles. So you be here. Be here. Meet me right here at 5:00. We'll do some memory type stuff, and then you'll go to your classes. And adults, we're going to be studying Acts chapter 11. You do a little heads up reading on that. You'll be glad that you did. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? I mean, you got up early and got dressed and came to Bible school. Well, most of you got up, got ready, and came to Bible school. And you got up, all of us got up, got ready, and came here at this time. What are you doing here? You know, I'm convinced that if you ask the people in Arkansas, just in Arkansas today, who are in some form of worship, whatever it is, why are you here? Why are you there? Why did you go to that effort? You'd probably get an answer something like this. Well, my mom and dad, they raised me in kind of that tradition, and I'm just doing what mom and dad did. Folks, that's the wrong answer. Why? What are we doing here? Not just this Lord's Day, but next Lord's Day, and the Lord's Day after that, and the Lord's Day after that. What are we doing here? I want us to be provided with the answer. But I want us to be better because of our study from the Word of God. We are here to worship. Now, we've been worshiping all week. At least I have. I've been doing exactly what James 5:13 says this week. Is any merry among you? Let him sing psalms. I've caught myself throughout the week just singing praises to God. Hadn't it been a beautiful week? And as I've noticed the blessings of God that he's bestowed upon me, I just sing praises to him. I have done exactly what the Apostle Paul told the Thessalonians to do in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. That must include some time outside this building, folks. Would you agree with me? That I'm to be praying outside this building. I'm to be singing songs of praise to him outside this building. I have studied his word. Study to show yourself approved. I want to stand approved before God, don't you? Study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. So I've studied his word this week. I have given a whole lot more than I gave in that collection plate. I have given, and so have you this week. Why, as we've seen our brothers and sisters naked and in need of daily food, we've not just said to them, be you warmed and filled. Well, what profit is there in that? James chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And so we've given this week. And we've given it in the name of the Lord. We have worshiped this week. In fact, folks, if you haven't, I'm going to tell you, that's going to affect your worship in here. If you haven't worshiped all week, and then we come together to worship together. I didn't mention the Lord's Supper. I haven't partaken of the Lord's Supper on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. That's what brings me together with you to worship with you today around His table. But I've worshiped all week. But folks, if we don't worship all week, we get here and we're rusty and we kind of had to kick the scales off to get down to worship. We're here to worship. We're here to worship God, the God Almighty who made everything and every one of us. And we're here to worship Him in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. We are here to sing with the Spirit and to sing with the understanding also. 1 Corinthians 15:14. In Isaiah chapter 43, as Isaiah is talking to the children of Israel who are going to be carried away into Babylonian captivity, and he's saying to them, but God's going to bring you back. He's going to bring you back. He's going to bring you back from the east. He's going to call those from the north. He's going to call those from the west. He's going to call all of those back because they're His children and they were made for His glory. They were made to glorify God. And you are, and so am I. And we're here. That's why we're here. We are here to glorify God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, the Ark of the Covenant has been away from Israel. And David has finally has the opportunity to bring that Ark of the Covenant back home, back to its rightful place. Yeah, you got to go through all of that stuff, the guy touching the ark and falling dead and all that. But he finally gets it down, he's got it right, he gets it back home, and he writes this psalm, and he gives it to the Asaph, and he says, here, this is what you'll sing. And I'm not going to read that whole thing to you, but in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 30, listen to this. Give, in the middle of that song, give unto the Lord glory. The glory that is due unto His name. Give Him the glory. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's what we're here for. That's our reason for being here. We are here to worship our God, and He is worthy of our worship. Listen to Psalms 89. Verse number 7. Oh, read it with me. Psalms 89, verse number 7. Great God is greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones, and awesome above all those who are around Him. I ask you, is that true or not? I'm sorry, I thought I asked you a question. God is greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones. Is that true or not? That's true. That's true. He's worthy. And He is awesome above all who are around Him. Is that true? That is true, folks. He is worthy of our worship. Why, Jesus Himself told Satan to worship in Matthew chapter 4. Satan said, fall down and worship me. Remember Jesus said, it's written, Satan, it's written. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Now, maybe Jesus knew that Satan was never going to worship God, or maybe He's saying, hey, Satan, even you ought to be worshiping God. God is worthy of my worship. He is worthy of your worship. And no one else is. In Revelation chapter 19, John falls at the feet of that angel who has given him this revelation. He falls at the feet of that angel to worship him. And the angel says, you get back up on your feet. I am a fellow servant. Worship God. Worship God. He's the one who's worthy. He's the only one who is worthy. Last Sunday evening, we looked at Acts chapter 10. And Peter going into the house of Cornelius, that first Gentile. And as Peter enters the house of Cornelius, Cornelius falls at his feet. And Peter said, the first pope, he said facetiously. Peter said, get on your feet. I'm just a man like you are. There's only one who is worthy of my worship. There's only one who's worthy of your worship. Who is it? I'm sorry, I thought I asked you a question. Who is it? It's God Almighty. He's the only one who is worthy of our worship. We are here to worship God. We are here to obey God. We're not here to just do whatever we want to do, however we want to do it. We're here to obey God. Well, I like this. I like that. Who cares what you like? Who cares what I like? We're here to worship God, aren't we? We're here to obey God, aren't we? Carrie and I, we're out this week, and a young man we've been encouraging to come attend with us. He said, if y'all just get you a piano in there, who cares whether you want a piano or not? Who cares? We're here to worship God, aren't we? We're here to obey God. Well, I like my music. Who cares what you like? We are here to obey God. We're here to honor God. We're not here to meet our felt needs. Listen, folks, God has been taking care of my felt needs all week long. Has he yours? He's been taking care of my felt needs all week long. I'm not here to get my felt needs met. I am here to thank him for meeting my felt needs. I'm here to worship God. We're not here to make ourselves happy. That's not our purpose. That's not why we're here. We're not here to make ourselves happy. We're not here to be entertained. Now, I say all of that, knowing full well, that's not our attitude the vast majority of the time. And I can say that. If you think I'm just blowing smoke, listen, folks. I think it's September the 26th and 27th. It's not, it's September 27th and 28th. I'm going to be with 200 to 250 elders and preachers. And guess what? It's about this thing. One brother has taken the position. He's going to take the position. How far can we go in worship to attract people? And they've asked the old moss back because they know. I'm going to tell them. It's not about pleasing you. It's about pleasing God. Worship is to please God. We're not here to be entertained. If anybody's getting entertained, it ought to be him. We're here to please God. If you'd have told me when I was a boy that the question of how far can we go to attract people would have ever been asked in the churches of Christ, I would have laughed in your face. How far can we go to make it more human oriented? Because that's the nature of that question, isn't it? To make it more humanly attractive. Folks, we're here to worship God. No other reason. We're here to worship God, and he is worthy of our worship. So I want to ask you a question. What if this great privilege, this great honor, this great opportunity that has been given us to worship God was suddenly taken away? Through persecution, through tribulation, through hardships, this opportunity that's been given you was suddenly taken away. What if you had to start meeting in a cave? What if you had to start meeting in a catacomb? What if you had to start meeting in some brother's house in secret? Because this privilege and opportunity was taken away. You say, well, listen, don't blow smoke with me. I know some people who call themselves Christians that don't attend regularly in a nice padded pew, carpet on the floor, air conditioned in the summer, heated in the winter, asphalt on their parking lots, and they won't attend regularly. Don't tell me you'd do it if things got hard. What if this opportunity was suddenly taken away from you? How interested in you, how determined are you that you're going to worship the God who created you, the God who made you for His glory? Hey, the prime example of how we ought to be is Daniel, isn't he? I mean, if you read in Daniel chapter 5, Daniel talking to old Nebuchadnezzar, remember the handwriting on the wall in that chapter, you know, the kingdom's going to be taken from you. It's a done deal. And Daniel says to old Belshazzar, the God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all your ways, you have not honored. You've not honored him. Kingdom's gone. In Daniel chapter 6, you have a new king on the throne by the name of Darius. And there were some who were watching Daniel and the way that he worshiped his God. And they said, we can't get the king to turn against him on anything but his worship. That's the only thing we're ever going to hook him on. That's the only thing we're ever going to get him on. Could they get you on your worship? Could they throw you in a lion's den because you're determined to worship? Because that's what they told him. Hey, anyone who worships anyone but the God of the Medes will be thrown into a den of lions. Read with me again Daniel chapter 6 verse 10. When Daniel knew, get that, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. What's Daniel doing? He's doing the same thing the day the document was signed as he did the day before. What if this opportunity, what if this great opportunity to worship your God was taken from you? What would you do? I'll tell you, what you were doing yesterday, the day before the document was signed, will have a whole lot to go toward determining what you do the day the document is signed. We're here to worship our God. Our God. And when we come for worship, I mean true worship. We're not here to pass notes. We're not here to play games on our vices. We're not here to cut up. We're not here to joke around. We're here to worship. When we come for true worship, folks, and we truly worship our God, we'll be better for it. Genuine worship makes us better. Communion with God and association with His Word will always make us more spiritual. It'll always do that. You want a guarantee in life? Here it is. It'll always make you better. The prime example of that is Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah has seen the Lord high and holy and sitting upon His throne. And God is looking for someone. God is looking for someone He's looking for a man that he can send. He's looking for a man that he can send. And Isaiah says, I said, woe is me, for I am I'm lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, they cried out. I saw him. God is looking for a man that he could send. And Isaiah says, here am I, Lord. Send me. Worship will do that for you. Genuine worship will do that for you. You can't come into this place. You can't come into this place and genuinely worship and not leave it better. And not leave it better. There's your guarantee. You'll be a greater servant for the Lord. You'll be a more devoted follower of Jesus Christ because you worshiped. Why are we here? We're here to worship. Why are we here? We're here to worship God. Not us. We're here to worship God. And if this privilege and this opportunity were to be taken away from us, we'd still be worshiping God. Amen, church? We'd still be worshiping God. And because we worship Him, because we spend time with Him, because we praise and adore and honor and respect and revere our God, we go away from that worship better. In Habakkuk chapter 2, God has just shown them the ridiculousness of creating an idol. So you made this idol out of wood, you made this idol out of stone, or you made this idol out of precious metal. You made it. You made it. You set it up on a shelf, and you have to do it all. You made it. How crazy is that? That you would worship something you made. It ought to be worshiping you. The created ought to be worshiping the creator, shouldn't it? The created should be worshiping the creator. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20, we close with this. But the Lord our God is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Folks, that's just God. That's just God through his prophet saying. God, our God, is in his holy temple. You stop talking. You keep silence. Let God tell you what he wants. Let God tell you what he desires from you. And then you do it. You're the created. He's the creator. You're the created. He's the creator. The Lord our God is in his holy temple. Let all the earth. There's not anybody anywhere on this earth that has the right to tell him how they're going to worship. Or what they're going to worship. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Folks, if we'll ever grasp that, you won't be able to imagine the blessings that God is going to pour out on you as an individual because you worship, and I mean true worship. on you as an individual because you worship, and upon you as a congregation because keep talking about what's the focus of a congregation? What's our purpose? What's our purpose? Folks, that's what we're here for. That's our reason. We're here to worship God. Keep silence before Him. Keep silence before Him. Let Him tell us what He wants. My brothers and sisters, if you have needs, we're the children of God. We can ask God for those things that we truly have need of. That we truly have need of. You have not because you ask not. Now be careful. Be careful. You need to ask God. You have not because you ask not. And then when you do ask, He said, you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. Be careful what you do ask for. But ask God. Ask God. And then ask your brothers and sisters. We're here as family to help one another and to assist one another. My brothers and sisters in Christ, if you have needs, let us know. We're going to give you a special opportunity here. If you're here, you're not a Christian. The invitation of our Lord, it doesn't belong to me. It's not my invitation. You're not rejecting me and you're not accepting me. Whatever your response is, it's to the Lord. But the Lord's invitation to you is, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And may you shall find rest unto your souls. You're invited to come. You're invited to be united with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. But it's His invitation. It's His invitation. If you're not a Christian, we're ready to help you become one. This morning, if you stand in need of the invitation of Jesus Christ, won't you come as together we stand and sing.